I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart, and welcome to Bart Cop Radio Show 89. Today's show is going to scare you because of what we do to Scotty the Underbear. People are going to write and say, Bart, how could you? We know he's a rotten sumbitch, but Bart, my God, what you did to the man. Don't you have a heart? Don't you have any feelings, Bart? He is a human being no matter what he's done. I can't believe you did that to Scotty the Underbear, Bart. Well, sometimes shit just has to happen. And since we're running low on time, let me get my shot at Shinako out the way. Thanks to Monkey Fister for the shot at Shinako. Very nice. Very, very nice. Okay, time's going to run out, so let's get to the big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Seat. I walk around in the summertime saying, how about this heat? I'm an echo.
He's an echo.
I'm an echo. Sometimes I park in handicapped spaces while handicapped people make handicapped faces. I'm an echo.
You probably heard that Scotty the Underbear had a bad time at a press conference or two last week. And I've got a good part of one right here, and we're going to run through it. Don't know how long this will take. If it takes a long time, that means it'll be damn good. I know he's lying. It's so obvious. And we're going to go through a couple of the highlights of their press conference with comment.
When the vice president's office was ready to provide additional information to reporters, there was no traveling White House press corps with the vice president, as there is with the president in a situation like this. So there's some different circumstances. And the other circumstance here was that someone was injured and needed medical care. And the vice president's team was making sure he was getting taken care of and that he got to the hospital and received additional treatment.
Did the vice president follow all of the appropriate safety procedures in this case?
I think if you got specifics about this, probably direct them to the vice president's office. I don't know all the specifics about it, but I think Mrs. Armstrong spoke publicly about how this incident occurred. And if I recall, she pointed out that the protocol was not followed by Mr. Whittington when it came to notifying the others that he was there. And so, you know, unfortunately, these type of hunting accidents happen from time to time.
I've never been hunting in my life. I've shot a few guns, though. But like I say, never been hunting in my life, but I can guarantee you there's so few times in life when you can give out a guarantee. But I guarantee you, if you've got a group, apparently there was five people. There was the shooter, the shootee, the two semi-hot babes in their 60s and 70s, and the landowner, Armstrong. Now, what they're trying to tell us is that these five people are standing in the woods. And if the vice president wants to spin around and shoot behind him, suddenly it's the other person's responsibility to not be there. And we all know that is crazy. Are you trying to tell me you've got a loaded gun in your hand and it's okay to spin around and shoot behind you without warning? That's not possible. I've never been hunting, but I'm telling you, that's not possible. If that was hunting protocol, you would have hundreds of dead people in every state every hunting season. So don't stand there, Scotty the Underbear, and tell us it's the other guy's fault for standing there. The idea that he's supposed to announce his presence. They're going to try again and again to avoid the subject. They're going to change the subject. They're going to answer questions that weren't asked and refuse to answer the questions that were asked. And this is the first big one. This press conference had been going on for a few minutes, or I don't know how long, when I turned it on, saw what was going on, so I hit record. But the reporters are preparing Scotty the Underbearer for some damn information. Hey, dude, you answer questions for a living, so effing answer some damn questions. Do your job and give us some information. You're supposed to clarify information. You're supposed to disseminate information. You're supposed to be some kind of font of knowledge. And every time they ask him a question, he says, well, back in 1948 when Israel... No, we're not talking about Israel in 1948. We're talking about Cheney last weekend firing a gun into the face of his friend. Now explain that. But he can't. He's going to lie again and again. And this is the first big one he's told, well, because we just started, that it's the other guy's responsibility to not be standing behind the loaded gun when the guy holding the loaded gun spins around and fires without looking. That's bullshit, and we all know it.
Scott, there's a report coming out of a sheriff's deputy there who said that he was prevented from interviewing the vice president by the Secret Service. Do you know anything about that, and is that appropriate?
No, I don't know anything about that. You had to direct that to the Secret Service. My understanding was that Secret Service took the appropriate steps to inform law enforcement.
Scotty, nobody asked if the Secret Service took appropriate steps to notify law enforcement. Nobody asked that. Repeat. Nobody asked if they took the steps to inform law enforcement. The question was, why was local law enforcement prevented from speaking with the shooter? Now, see, great example. They asked him, why was he prevented? And he said, well, they did talk to, the Secret Service did make a call. No, that's not what we're talking about. Scotty, the reason you can't tell the truth is because you're lying and you're covering something up. And we're going to get into it sooner or later, so we might as well get into it right now. I'll tell you exactly what we had here. We had a drunk vice president shoot a man. First thing they had to do was get the guy to the hospital, because let's assume for a second that Cheney didn't want his friend to die. I mean, that may be a leap because he is a heartless son of a bitch. But let's grant that assumption to him, although they would never grant it to us. So let's say job number one was to get this guy to a hospital, and let's assume that happened. Now they've got to hide the vice president, because if the guy dies in the hospital, his wife is going to file a multi-million dollar, hundreds of millions of dollar lawsuit against the drunk bastard murdering her husband. They call it depraved indifference. They call it manslaughter. They call it negligent homicide. There's a whole bunch of names for it, but if you're drunk and you accidentally shoot your buddy, you go to jail. Of course, nobody would ever expect a Republican to go to jail. Jail is only for Democrats. But that's exactly what they had to do. They had to keep Cheney away from everybody until he completely sobered up. But that's what they had to do. They had to prevent the law from catching up with Cheney because Cheney was drunk and shot his friend. Now think, if that had been me, if that had been you, if this was some poor black guy in Texas, had a couple of drinks, shot his friend, he would do time. They might execute him because in Texas, they don't play those games unless the guy is rich and white and a longtime friend of the president's.
What was your input once you learned of this? Did you just turn it over to the vice president's office? Did you know they were turning it over to a private citizen?
Well, in terms of my involvement, first of all, Saturday night, I found out that there was a hunting accident. It was late Saturday night, of a member in his party. But I did not know who was involved in that hunting accident. It wasn't until very early Sunday morning that I found out that the vice president was involved in this accident.
When you have a conspiracy, it's always best to include the fewest number of people possible. So that's why they sent word to the White House that there had been a shooting. No further details are available. But if you think about it, Cheney was the shooter. That takes, what, 2 full seconds to say? Cheney was the shooter. Cheney was the shooter. Cheney was the shooter. I just timed it. It took 4 seconds to say Cheney was the shooter 3 times. Ipso facto, my good Catholic math says it took less than 2 seconds to say those words. But they weren't able to. Now, gee, that's almost suspicious. Cheney pulls the trigger, man goes down, Cheney shot a guy. Oh, but all the details hadn't come in. All the information trickled in. Oh, as the hours and the days went by, bits and pieces of it. Oh, here comes some more information now. We don't have the whole story. Here comes some more information now. We don't have the whole story. Here comes some more information. They act like this was the sinking of the Titanic or the Gulf of Tonkin incident or something. No, Cheney pulled the trigger, man went down. Cheney shot a guy. It's so simple. but they're lying, and everybody in the room knows they're lying. Scotty knows they know he's lying. Bob Dole knows he's lying. American people know he's lying. It's a big fucking lie. Somebody needs to just call it for what it is. It's not possible. It's just not possible to get a report. There's five people there. If this had been a stadium, if this had been a cocktail party with 100 people, maybe you got some digging to do. But you got five people standing in the woods. A shot goes off. A man falls down. Everybody says, oh my God, Cheney shot the guy. So when they call the White House, they say, there was a shooting, no details are available. That's bullshit. They are lying. And the reason they're lying, they had to protect Cheney. If they had called and said, Cheney shot a guy, somebody might have said, get him on camera right away. Let's get this before it blows up. But no, they couldn't do that. They had to hide Cheney. They had to keep him away from everybody for 14 hours. That was important. That was all that counted. They had to protect Cheney. They couldn't let the facts fall where they may because the facts weren't on their side.
Saturday night, you didn't know, the White House did not know that Vice President Cheney...
No, there were details coming in throughout that night and into the morning. I mean, there's additional information coming in at 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning and even after that. So,
what he's saying is nobody could put the words, Cheney shot a guy, in the report. Of the five people, and how many Secret Servicemen are there? Another five? Another 10? Maybe there's 6 or 8 Secret Service, maybe 4 or 5 medical personnel. You got 15 maybe people on the scene, and nobody could utter the words, Cheney shot a guy? None of the 15 could put that together? Oh, we got reports coming into 3, got reports coming into 4, more reports coming into 5 and then 6, all through the night, into the next morning, more information, more reports, more stuff coming in, more information, more reports. But nobody could say Cheney was the shooter. They just couldn't do it. None of the 15 could imagine that could possibly be part. I got a question for you. What information was coming in? You got information coming from the hospital, the Secret Service medical personnel. I think they travel with an ambulance. Makes sense. If you're with Cheney, you might as well keep those shocking pallets near him at all times. So you got the Secret Service ambulance that travels with the vice president. You figure they had a report. Once the guy got to the hospital, you figure the hospital had a report to file. But all this information is coming in all through the night and all through the morning, and nobody said Cheney shot a guy. What information was coming in? The ambulance filed a report? The hospital filed a report? All the people involved didn't think it was worth mentioning that the second most powerful, well, I'm sorry, the most powerful man on the planet just pulled a trigger and dropped his friend? Time, and I don't know when press time is, but right now is right now, is all I can tell you for sure. One of the big stories was the apparently some newspaper in Daneland, I think some people call it Denmark, they published about 10 cartoons that were unflattering to Islam. And isn't it crazy? Someone pointed this out on the news. You can't go in a Catholic church without seeing poor Jesus hanging there from the cross. You know, I always thought, since I grew up Catholic, you know, from the very first day my brain started to say was working, but that may be a generous use of the term. You know, from the beginning, church equals bloody Jesus hanging there on the cross. And after a while, you just get used to, I mean, there was never a time when it wasn't there, so you don't recall seeing it arrive for the first time. But I remember I was in high school, now I was in college. And I don't know, I think my roommate blackmailed me, or he made me some kind of deal where I think if he got drunk, that I would go to church. We made some kind of deal one night. So I went to his church, and the first thing I noticed, there was no bloody Jesus hanging there. I'm thinking, what's wrong with you people? How do you worship without a bloody Jesus? Some Catholics have, you know, 15, 20-foot bloody Jesus hanging there, and you stare at that for a couple hours. You feel so guilty. Jesus, I'm sorry you had to do this for me. You know, like I got caught drunk driving, and the penalty was they were going to hang the bloody Jesus on the cross, and that's what I get. You know, I had to look at my shame because I had to drive drunk, and now that I had to drive drunk, they went and crucified Jesus, and it's all my fault. Hey, I didn't do a damn thing. Original sin. You got to love that. I don't know. I guess that's everybody, not just the Catholics. That's another problem I have. Who knows what crazy shit belongs to the Catholics and what crazy shit belongs to Christianity? I don't know which is which a lot of the times, but I guess everybody who believes in God is saddled with original sin. Isn't it like being born black or born Jewish or born dark-skinned or just, you know, whatever disadvantage life might give you? It's like, original sin. Hey, I didn't do a damn thing. I'm 2 years old. What did I do? I don't have the capacity to commit a sin until, I think the Catholics say 7. They might have changed that lately. Maybe the 7-year-olds are sharper than they were when I was a kid. But when I was a kid, about the time you hit 7 years old, they said, aha, all right, according to the church, from now on, you know what you're doing. You know the difference between right and wrong. But, of course, to be tried as an adult, you got to be 16 or something. They always got a way to get in there. But the point I was making about the bloody Jesus, that's the big thing in the Catholic Church. You got to have the bloody Jesus hanging there or it just ain't kosher. But for the Muslims, or Islam, see, that's another thing I need a refresher course on. Are all Muslims Islams? Are all Islams Muslims? Or is it the same thing? If it's the same thing, why do we have two words? Okay. Apparently, they worship the God that you're not allowed to ever see. The Catholics, you have to have the bloody Jesus hanging there. But if you're a Muslim, you don't ever, to even write, even if you carve the most beautiful in tribute statue of a fabulously handsome man, fabulously dressed and helping the children, you know, you show some pose, you know, of Imam, whatever, dividing whatever, Abraham's sword or whatever they do. That's blasphemy. You can never, ever, ever have a picture or a statue or a photograph. I don't care if you have too many photographs of the guy, but you know what I'm saying? Never, ever, ever can anybody depict the guy ever. And that seems a little, it just seems wild and crazy because you worship the guy, but you can never, ever know what he looks like. This guy wrote, I saw the cartoon. I guess you did too. You know, when they told me, they showed a cartoon of the Imam, I don't even know what he's called, Muhammad, whatever, Muhammad with a bomb on his head. I pictured, you know, a giant missile with fins coming out the back, you know, a big pointy deal on one end, the fins on the back. I didn't know that bomb. I think of it a strategic nuclear bomb. But no, he just had a round, like a cannonball looking thing with a fuse on top of his head going off. And to prove that that wasn't fair, the Muslims went nuts and murdered a whole lot of people to show that they weren't like that, which kind of killed me. Okay, so we got a couple of letters to the editor. That's where we're going with this. Support the European press. I find it strange that even the usually tolerant, unquote, and liberal U.S. media, yeah, there's one of those. That's why Bush was impeached in 2003. And liberal U.S. media refused to support their European colleagues regarding the publication of cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. Newspapers in most European countries published the cartoons. Yeah, and we caught shit for it. Funny, they print a cartoon in Daneland, and so rally against the American devils. Hey, we don't control Denmark. What are you coming after us for? Unlike their secular European counterparts that mock everything from Jesus to Zeus. Jesus to Zeus, two mythical figures. The religion-driven Arab and American society seem unable to tolerate the secular outlook of Europe. It seems that just as President Bush has no right to impose our democratic values on Iraq, wow, okay, Muslims have no right to impose their religious values on the European Union. It is none of their business what we do in our bedrooms and in our newspapers. Well, there is a difference between what you do in your bedroom and what you do in your newspaper. Okay, so he's confusing. He was anti-Bush, but he's screaming at the liberal U.S. press to hurry and print a bunch of these cartoons that make Muslims go crazy and set shit afire and murder people. So I'm not sure where this guy's coming from. Here's apparently the counter letter. Oh, it's from a guy. Well, the first guy was Vladimir Garkov from Staunton, Virginia. Vladimir sounds, European. And this next letter is from Bilal A. Rana from Houston, which he sounds Middle Eastern. Headline, praise for U.S. papers. I am a Texan Muslim. Quit it. I am a Texas Muslim and condemn the cartoon depictions of our holy prophet Muhammad. Also, how many ways do you spell Muhammad? Is it Mohammed, M-O, or is it Muhammad, like Ali the boxer? A lot of these little things, they just get by me, you know? If a name begins with an M and it's got a two M's, an H, and a D in it, you figure they're talking about that one guy, but who knows? People of our religion should feel welcome and safe to practice their religion in the peaceful manner for which it was intended. Dude, where did you get the idea that religion was peaceful? There are more murders in the name of religion than any, probably more than sex. For this, I am proud and would like to applaud the responsible and conscientious conduct upheld by our newspapers on this side of the Atlantic. Objection, they're just cowards. The news media must balance their right to free speech with their duty to guard the religious sensitivities of all religions and refrain from vulgarity that deliberately provokes others. What are you, crazy? The newspapers can't print anything? If there's a chance, it might offend the religious sensitivities of all religions? You know how many religions all religions are? To my Muslim brethren, I would hope that you too would act responsibly and follow the legacy of our prophet and return insults with forbearance and kindness. Whoa. Does it say that in the Quran? When attacked, return insults with forbearance and kindness? I don't know. I thought it said you must kill anybody from America. I thought that's what the Quran was about. The whole world would be in a really much, much better place if they would jettison all this hokey, invisible cloud being of whatever stripe, hoo-ha. You know, I can see there was a time, you know, hundreds of years ago when it's a bright sunny day and all of a sudden the monster begins to eat the sun. You know, they're having some eclipse and the people think, oh my God, the sky monster's eating the sun. Oh, my God. We better pray. I mean, you can sort of see where that might have been a good idea. If something's eating the sun, if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the sun's going out, yeah, it's time to panic. Unless you've got a scientist to say, no, it's just the moon coming between us and the sun. That's all that is. It'll be gone in a minute. Everything's fine, you know. That's what science and logic does for you. But absent science and logic, I can understand where some uneducated idiot might think, oh my God, the sky monster is eating the sun. We must pray to the anti-sky monster to stop the sky monster from eating the sun. Oh, you talk about idiocy. And here we are, 2006, and we're still, if anything, more caught up in it than we were. I blame Bush. Everything's going backwards now. If you want salvation, don't listen to the scientists at NASA. Listen to Pat Robertson. He advocates murder. Forget all the science. Forget all the logic. Go with your heart. Go with whichever church has the most money. Go with whichever church your president likes. Forget the science and the logic. Oh, I know I'm beating my head against the wall. Hell, what, two-thirds, three-fourths of liberals believe in God, which is fine. If there's one truism of BartCobb.com, it's your religion, you know, keep it away from the schools and the courthouse. It's fine with me. You know, if you're a snake handler, now we got to talk, because we can't have your snake biting a child that's a year old, because the year old is not going to make it if the rattlesnake bites him. And the year old deserves a shot at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So in that regard, you know, we also can't have some idiot religion where the father has to rape the young girls, you know, when you reach the age of 8. Now you must have sex with dad because that's a religion. No. Take away the snake handling and the weird sex, you know, a couple others. Your religion is your business. Just keep it away from me. Keep it away from the laws and don't try to teach it crap at school and we'll all be happy. But no, they want more than that. They are so insecure in their religion, they want you to back them up because they can't make it on their own. They and their God aren't strong enough by themselves. They need you along with them and their God to make it through the day. That's insanity on its face.
About 25 million seniors have signed up for this new plan since January 1st. That's a lot of folks in a quick period of time. And it's important for our seniors to take advantage of this new program. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. Or if you've got a mom or a dad who's eligible for Medicare, sit down with them and explain the new benefit. It is a really good deal for America's seniors. To make sure that health care works, we'll continue to take care of the poor. In other words, the government's made a commitment to the elderly and the poor. But the government has also got to understand the best medicine is private medicine, and we should not get in between the doctors and the patients in America.
Man, do you ever have a weekend and you think to yourself, I'm just sad. Nothing fun ever happens anymore. Nothing really gets my blood going and gets me excited to be alive again. Well, if you had one of those weekends, look at me and listen.
Vice President Dick Cheney has accidentally shot and injured a friend with whom he was hunting.
Birdshot fired from the vice president's weapon apparently wounded a fellow hunter.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, as you just heard, near tragedy over the weekend in South Texas. Vice President Dick Cheney accidentally shot a man during a quail hunt at a political supporter's ranch, making 78-year-old Harry Whittington the first person shot by a sitting Veep since Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton, of course, was shot in a duel with Aaron Burr over issues of honor, integrity, and political maneuvering. Whittington was mistaken for a bird. The other player in the drama, ranch owner and eyewitness Catherine Armstrong.
We were shooting a covey of quail. The vice president and two others got out of the car to walk up the covey.
What kind of hunting story begins with getting out of your car?
As I sighted the great beast before us, my hand was shaking. I could barely engage the parking brake. Slowly, I turned off the AC and silenced my subwoofers. And then, a tragedy.
A bird flushed. The vice president took aim at the bird and shot, and unfortunately, Mr. Whittington was in the line of fire and got peppered pretty well.
Peppered. Yes, there you have it. Harry Whittington seasoned to within an inch of his life. Peppering is what you do to a Caesar salad. He shot that dude. Whittington was rushed to the hospital where he received a very special visitor.
Vice President Cheney came by earlier this afternoon to meet with the patient for a brief period of time.
How minimally thoughtful.
How you doing? How are you? I peppered you pretty good there, didn't I?
Now, this story certainly has its humorous aspects. Easy to make fun of an incident such as this. Very easy. Unbelievably easy. The kind of easy that makes you want to return your check. But it also raises a serious issue. You see, I'm not just Jon Stewart, host of The Daily Show with, you know, me. I'm also a concerned parent. So moms and dads, if you're watching right now, I can't emphasize this enough. Don't let your kids go hunting with the vice president. I don't care what kind of lucrative contracts they're trying to land or energy regulations they're trying to get lifted. He'll shoot them in the face.
Hi, this is Christy Llewellyn. I just received a phone call that I am to send BartCop.com a CD with a song titled Fear Tactic. Everyone that has heard this song by the band Philpott has said, whoa, what a song this would be for the Democratic Convention. Philpott is a band that's just now getting ready to make it big. They're soon be, supposedly within the next 3 months, signed with a major label. I just got a call from my brother, Tim, from Linton, Indiana. He said, Christy, here's BartCop.com's address. Send them out a CD. He said, I just heard the words to Fear Tactic, and it is BartCop.com all over the place. If you're interested, or log on to PhilpottMusic.com. It's PhilpottMusic.com. I think there's a link there where you could hear the lyrics to Fear Tactic.
You speak for people, you got your people, you don't speak for me. You ain't a leader, you're just a key set. Why's the most of everybody digging little tiny holes? Running like a stock beat, bleeding down a teddy and roll. Pity the foolish that breed your bullshit, they don't talk to me. I keep it cool, soft, low, and clean. Pursuing my thoughts and socialize naturally. And
Cop Radio. Yeah.